Good evening, everyone. It is your girl, Nye, and you beautiful people are tuned into yet another show of Nye Airwaves. Laugh, live, and get into the now from the people's perspective, sponsored by Faces of Success Radio. As always, we are back and better than ever, coming at you with the chart-topping singles, some of your favorites and requested throwbacks, and, of course, exclusive interviews with the stars. Tonight, we're featuring an amazing actress turned designer and fashion mogul. Miss Leontine Abdullah will be in the studio telling her story and giving us insight on her acting career as well as where she's going next for her fashion career and maybe even get some insight on some collections. You never know. But as always, coming up next, we have our hot gossip. Spill the Tea is coming up next with Graham to the Emmy, giving you the amazing, shocking, and interesting articles in the gossip, politics, and, of course, your favorite celebrities. So stay tuned for that and make sure you dial that hotline, 323-642-1569. Kicking off the show with SZA, Broken Clocks. Again, SZA, Broken Clocks. We're kicking off the show and you're tuned in to Nye Airwaves. Stay tuned for the hot gossip. All right, let's get into the tune.
over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. Kitchen floors are wet and taps are still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing. In the middle, don't know, baby.
for the hot dog shop. Get your lemon tea, peach tea, raspberry tea, my personal favorite, sweet tea from McDonald's. All right, babies, as y'all know, in select theaters, it is the last week to view Wakanda Forever. Black Panthers is last week in select theaters, so make sure if y'all ain't seen it now, go see it while you can, while it's still in theaters. And when it come out on DVD, get your poppies, get your Blu-ray DVDs, get your cassettes, all of them. And the reason we speak on that is because one of the primary artists that's featured on the soundtrack, Mr. Kendrick Tate Dot Lamar, he's actually getting a biography that will detail his rise to rap stardom. That's right. Kendrick Lamar biography with detail on his rise to hip-hop stardom. Let's talk about that. Get your summer reading list ready. A new biography about Kendrick Lamar will reportedly be headed to bookshelves soon. Bandcamp senior editor Marcus J. Moore announced that he has signed a deal to write a cultural biography about the TDE artist's groundbreaking career. Moore announced the news on Twitter Thursday, March 22nd. That was yesterday. Some big news I've been eager to share. I've signed with Touchstone Books to write a cultural biography on Kendrick Lamar. My book, The Butterfly Effect, How Kendrick Lamar Ignited the Soul of Black America, will detail his rise to stardom. All right, baby. As Moore noted, the bio will come out via Touchstone Books, which is a Simon and Schuster-backed imprint, and has previously released books about Keane and Paul McCartney. While Kendrick is still pretty novice in his career, I wouldn't say he's a novice in his career. Y'all better go somewhere with that mess. There is definitely a lot to talk about. In the past 2 years, Kendrick has dropped his certified platinum album, won 4 Grammys for the same album, as well as singles on it, and executive produced the number one soundtrack for Black Panther. The bio will most likely touch on his accomplishments as well as his early growing up in Compton, Westside. The bio does not have a title or release date currently at this time. I'm looking forward to that, shoo. All right, baby. I'm looking forward to that, and I would definitely read it. Because if you know, Kendrick has been in the industry for a long time. And he used to go by the name K-Dot, which is actually a nickname of his, and he's featured that in many of his albums, Butterfly Effect, Good Kid, Mad City, whatever it's called, and many and his previous mixtapes to that as well. So I am absolutely proud of him having so many different opportunities, having a soundtrack that's number one. Black Panther reached $1 billion, and it's some mad folks about that, baby. Ooh-wee, but congratulations, K-Dot, and let's get into some more congratulations. Our favorite, sorry, Miss Jackson, artist, the one half of Outkast, Big Boi, has inked a record deal with L.A. Reid's new label. Yes, baby, the iconic Ain't Nobody Dope As Me, Big Boi, inked a record deal with L.A. Reid's new label. Some of y'all will remember that L.A. departed ways with Sony back in May of 2017 after some sexual misconduct allegations surfaced. But leaving the company apparently didn't stop his grind in the industry. Variety reports that he and fellow Arista veteran Charles Goldstuck have secured close to $100 million to launch the label. All right, then, will y'all make it do what it do, baby? $100 million to launch the label. They furthermore have plans to put offices in New York, L.A., and Atlanta. Hitco may be new, but they're already working. According to reports, Hitco is putting in work to Radio's Big Boi All Night. You may remember that song on the Apple Animoji Yourself ad. The label has also secured distribution through Empire, which is an independent company that played a part in pushing Dram and Lil Yachty's Broccoli and Fat Joe's and Remy Ma's all over. We wish both L.A. and Big Boy the best of luck with their new business ventures. All right, then. I'm happy for them. I am extremely happy for Big Boy. Let me say this, but we all know we got to be careful with L.A. Reid. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. We all know what happened to LaFace Records and how TLC got screwed over, how a bunch of different artists got screwed over when they was with LaFace Records as far as their contracts are concerned, not getting paid for tours, not getting half the money that they deserve, especially in royalties. But that's neither here nor there. So Big Boy, make sure, and he probably already knows, he's been in the game for so long. Get your paperwork looked over. That is so key, baby. Make sure that you get, no matter what it is, even if it's just a split sheet or percentages for the paperwork for your royalties, get that. All right, let's do one more here before we get into a break. Some surprising yet sad news. And it's just like, wow. All of the stores that I remember, like Limited 2, and a lot of the Kmarts are closing down too across the country. There's a few of them holding it down. But toy stores as well, an iconic toy store, we all know and love it. Toys R Us founder Charles Lazarus died at 94 as the company heads to liquidation. Yeah, that's right, baby. Y'all heard it right. Charles Lazarus, the founder of Toys R Us, has died at the age of 94, the company announced yesterday. Jim Silver, editor-in-chief of Toy Review website, posted LinkedIn today that he has been informed by former Toys R Us chief executive Michael Goldstein that Lazarus died. Lazarus left Toys R Us 20 years ago. And I quote, "We all miss Charles, who was a veteran toy industry journalist, a leader and innovator in the toy industry. In 1948, Lazarus returned from World War II and heard all of the war buddies saying the same thing, that they are heading home to get married and start having children. His instincts told him that it would be a good time to open up a store that sold baby carriages, cribs, and bassinets," people were told in a 2008 interview, and he was right. Proved visionary again in 57 when Lazarus began opening toy stores, superstores, stocked with aisles and aisles of playthings just as television taking off and fueling demands for toys like Barbies, Slinkies, and Hula Hoops. I remember my Slinky. My Slinky was rainbow, and it was had all types of speckles of white and other colors. It was really fun. Slinkies, if you know how to fling it right, it would do like a worm and go whoop, whoop. Oop, okay, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm making effects with my hand here. The company that Lazarus built raised generations of Toys R Us kids, but is now finding itself in the middle of bankruptcy and liquidation sales. Wow, that's so sad. And it's no wonder, because I have been noticing that there have been a lot of extreme sales, everything must go, and stuff like that. And they're not the only ones that's going bankrupt. Y'all remember Class, the accessory store? The mall giant jewelry may be going out of business and filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, protected from March 19th. Okay, Class, Toys R Us, we already said that. B&B, Backrush, filing for bankruptcy. Bon Ton Stores, I don't know about them. But that these are one of the main, I can't believe Class is going into bankruptcy. Because it was such a big store. But at the same time, if you ain't getting the sales, sugar, you ain't getting the sales. But may he rest in paradise, Mr. Charles Lazarus, the pioneer of the "I don't want to grow up, I want to be a Toys R Us kid." All right, babies. Coming up next, we're going to pay homage to Kendrick Lamar and his biography, playing all the stars featuring SZA from the Black Panther soundtrack. And it's actually, let me check my list here, All the Stars is currently on the Billboard chart at number 8. And it's moving up to number 6 currently. All the Stars, Kendrick Lamar featuring SZA. And we're going to come back with this article. Man details his 70,000 mobile gaming habits. Yes, this man spent $70,000 in in-app purchases. And we're going to talk about that right after this. This is Kendrick Lamar featuring SZA, All the Stars. We're going to come back right after this. All the stars are cool. And chickadees, we back up in this thing like a chicken wing. All right, baby, you heard it right. Man spends over $70,000 in app store purchases for a game. And we're going to talk about that right here. They don't love Sony's free to play mobile game, Fake Grand Order, a lot. Shimmer now. He spent $70,000 or more in in-app purchases. Here's the details. When we played the first chapter, many of us were moved to tears. Dago, 31. Oh, Lord. What? You a 31-year-old man. You spent $70,000 on in-app gaming purchases? Really?
Let's just finish reading the article here. The story zooms into each character and makes you feel something for them. You want what you love, right? Saying fake game order, but excuse me, fake grand order, he says takes up most of his day. Even when he's eating, he's playing, unless he's sleeping, driving, or taking a bath. Fake grand order is entirely a free-to-play, but players can spend real-world money for better chances at winning in the game. As Sony's most profitable game, it's been criticized for turning players into gamblers, a common worry among lawmakers and gambling commissions about video games featuring pay-to-win and loot box mechanics. I've spent over $70,000 on the game, maybe more, but I don't like to think about that, Dago says. I just want to make the character stronger. Dago details how he spent one time $500 getting one character, seemingly detailing how he began spending so much in the game. Wanting that character to be level 5, he added, he ended up spending a total of $2,500 on the character. His parents, whom he lives with, no wonder he playing video games on his phone, 31 years old and living in his mama's house. Don't know how much money he spent in the game. Some people spend $18 on a movie and feel moved, he says. I spent $70,000 on fake grand order, and it moves me. In-app purchases and microtransactions are currently hot-button issues in the game industry, with one survey finding 1 in 10 game developers planning to include them in some way in future games. Given the tumultuousness of the issue, the ESRB recently announced it would be working to better educate parents about these types of games, as well as introducing a new label indicating if a game will have microtransactions. Baby, you're a 31-year-old man. First of all, you're still playing video games, for one. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing video games, but at the same time, you basically gave up $70,000 for a character. You just gave Sony your $70,000, your hard-earned money, to level up a character? He said himself he spent $500 to upgrade a character to level 5. Why can't you just work hard in the game and get your character to level 5? I don't know nothing about this game, but usually when you work hard and you actually play through the levels versus upgrading your characters with money and getting all them extra tokens and can on to get 1,000, hundreds of tries. I mean, why don't you just play and work hard? That's where all them cheat codes and can on come from. Oh, my goodness. I cannot. Mm-mm-mm. Well, here's another shocking article, baby. And it's a shame that we really got people out here doing this. Gold digging woman tries to hire the father of her children to murder her soon-to-be husband. Yep, I said it. Gold digging woman tries to hire the father of her children to murder her soon-to-be husband. Say a woman was arrested after she allegedly tried to hire someone to kill the man she was going to marry. According to the arrest affidavit, Crystal Gowden, 32, tries to pay the father of her children $40,000 of her soon-to-be husband's life insurance policy if he killed the man. Thursday, Crystal picked up the father of her children so he could spend time with the kids. Inside the car, the conversation took a shocking turn. Crystal wanted the man to kill her fiancé. Learning of the deadly deed the mother of his kids was asking him to do, the man pressed record on his phone. Inside the car, he recorded a conversation in which Gowden said she was going to marry the man for his money, according to the affidavit. She reportedly asked her children's father to kill the man after she married him. She would then pay the father of her children $40,000 from her cut of his life insurance policy. She planned to receive, according to the affidavit. Once he left Crystal's side, the children's father located the police station, gave the typed statement, and handed the recording conversation over to the police. When police went to arrest Gavin, she admitted to being high on, Lord have mercy, high on weed and cocaine, so she could not give a statement to the, Lord have mercy, she was high on weed and cocaine. According to her Facebook profile, Crystal is a burger flipping crew member at Burger King. Oh, Lord. Crystal, 32, will be charged with solicitation to commit first-degree murder. She is being held on a $200,000 bond. This is not Gallen's first brush-in with the law. In 2016, she was arrested after her mother said she hit her in the face. In 2015, Gowden was issued a citation after leaving her children in an unlocked car in a Kroger parking lot while she was in the store. Lord have mercy. She don't need to be nobody's mama. I'm sorry. Baby, you need to start over and get your life together, because child, please. If the father was paying child support, he no longer has that problem anymore. Lord have mercy. What was the baby, you unhappy. And it's evident that you unhappy. You out there flipping burgers at Burger King, taking care of your children, and then you find a man with some money. You trying to kill him? You scheming the man for his money and his emotions? Like, we really do have people out here like this in the world? That's sad. And the fact that you were stupid enough to ask the father of your children to murder a man for his money, and on top of the fact that you was high off of cannabis and cocaine, you 32 with children. I don't understand it. I'm sorry, I don't. It's just ridiculous to me. If you really was gonna marry somebody for their money, Lord have baby, you need help. All prayers to the children. All thanks to the father of the children that got. Well, look, I just can't. I'm outdone. I'm outdone by people. That is actually people out here, young women out here, instead of busting your butt, going to school, getting a degree, and getting a good job, and taking care of your kids, you want to try killing somebody that ain't did nothing but care for you, and you wanna murder him for some money? I can't. The things people do for money, I have no idea. Here's another da-da-da-da-da. Shocking article. Innocent man awarded $1 million after spending 31 years in prison. I'm going to say this again. So let me show y'all hear me clearly. Innocent man awarded $1 million after spending 31 years in prison. Tennessee awarded a man $1 million after he spent nearly 31 years in prison for a crime that DNA cleared him of. Lawrence McKinney, 61, was imprisoned in 1978 for rape and burglary before freed in 2009. The Tennessee Board of Claims granted him the compensation on Wednesday. Nashville attorney David Rabin, who has represented McKinney for the last 6 years, described the outcome as bittersweet for McKinney, who is only formally exonerated from the crimes within the last 3 months. I've been a criminal defense attorney for 40 years. This is probably one of the most moving events I've ever experienced. To have someone in prison for that long and to fight for years, for 6 years to get him some justice, it has just been an enormous undertaking. The payment is divided into one $353,000 upfront payment, which is to cover attorney fees, debts, and the cost of vehicle, following by $3,350 monthly payments for a minimum 10 years. If he should die before those 10 years, either his wife or his estate will be eligible to collect the following monthly payments. The $1 million compensation is the highest permitted by the state, as well as highest it has been ever granted due to the length of McKinney served. That's not to say that everyone is calling the amount sufficient. The Board of Claims at the hearing said that they thought it was an inadequate award. He pointed out that $1 million maximum was set about 10 years ago and doesn't consider adjustments for rising cost of living. Still, if you ask McKinley, he might say that the closure of his chapter of his life is a blessing enough. After being released from prison 9 years ago, he endured a years-long legal battle for both monetary compensation and exoneration. The parole board twice refused to formally exonerate him, even though the Shelby County Criminal Court and District Attorney's General found that DNA evidence failed to link McKinley to the crime he was convicted of. Former Governor Phil Bredesen also declined to clear his name when given the chance. It wasn't until December of 2017 that Government Bill Haslam completed the task for McKinley, an act that then made him eligible to seek compensation for the estate. Well, let me just say this. This is not nothing new. I'm happy for Mr. McKinley, but the fact that it took 31 years for him to suffer and look at them same four walls and shackles and ugly uniforms and hard labor and barely even able to survive and have the basic necessities for hygiene and sanity itself. This man had to suffer since 1978 of a crime that they proved that his DNA did not match, yet they still let him sit and rot in prison. This is not uncommon, babies. This happens all the time. People are put in for petty things, jaywalking, selling marijuana, which is legal in many states, and they might as well just go on and legalize it everywhere, but that's neither here nor there. Civil rights activists, all types of folks that's been arrested for one crime that they did not commit, two petty crimes, or just to put, prison is a mass industry. They want to get as many bodies off the streets as possible. And if you die in prison, oh well, that's their mentality. Do I believe that that $1 million is sufficient enough for this man suffering? He is 61 years old. From 78 to 2018, this man has suffered for so long. This man got a family. His children probably don't even know who he is, point blank, period. Or even his family just left him on his own. And he don't have nobody now. Like, he probably couldn't even go to his mother's funeral, for God's sakes. This man has suffered long enough. Is $1 million enough for me? No. Personally, I don't think so. But I'm extremely elated about the fact that this man has been cleared. Could they have done it sooner than now? Oh, yeah, if they wanted to. But you have to think of the time frame and the people's mindsets back in the 70s, because it was cruel. It was a cruel time back in the 70s, and it still is now with the whole police brutality thing. That ain't going away. It's still here. But getting off of that subject, babies, we're going to get back into some more tunes, and we're going to tell y'all about DMX's tax evasion. Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. They want DMX to serve 5 years in prison for tax evasion. Yep, DMX prosecutors want him to serve 5 years for tax evasion. We're going to get into these here tunes again, babies. And we're going to talk about this article here. And make sure y'all dial that hotline and get ready for our exclusive interview with the amazing actress and fashion mogul designer, Miss Leontine Abdullah. She will be in the studio for an exclusive interview. So dial that hotline 323-422-1569 and stay tuned for these last few articles, babies, as we wrap up Hot Gossip Spirited Tea. All right, babies.
Baby, come on, switch this up. Ghost. Yeah.
We're gonna fuck, girl. Yeah. It's just us, girl. Let me know what's up, girl. What's up, girl? Cause I'm gonna tie it down. Eat it all, go down. Eat it all. Take it down, 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 down. And I'ma get it up. Let me switch up the tempo. Let me switch up the tempo. Let me switch up the tempo. Can I switch up the tempo? Switch up the tempo. I know that life moves too quick for you sometimes. You should pull up to the kickback, smoke one with me one time.
you back on rewind.
Hold up, it's just us, girl. It's just us, girl. Let me know what's up, girl. What's up, girl? Cause I'm gonna throw it down.
Come through and get it.
Tonight I'm gonna show you all. When I walk away,
get back into this here guru stuff while we wrapping it up here, and then get back into these tunes. All right. DMX prosecutors want him to serve 5 years for tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last year, DMX was hit with 14 counts of tax evasion, where he was looking at 40 years behind bars for allegedly hiding $1.7 million as a way to avoid paying federal taxes. New documents say the U.S. District Attorney's Office is recommending the rapper serve 5 years in prison when he's sentenced next week. The publication says prosecutors are urging the judge to send the message to the Party Up rapper that star power doesn't entitle someone a free pass. After DMX dodged a 40-year sentence from his first trial, he was later sent to jail for failing a drug test, and now prosecutors want to make sure he learned from his mistakes. At the beginning of the year, DMX was caught at the airport bar slamming back shots when he was supposed to be traveling with a sober coach. You won't know what God is willing to do for you until you're in a situation where you need him to do it for you, he says in a video. So I praise God for these difficult situations, because in these situations, I'm aware of what God is willing to do for me. I know what God is capable of doing, but I won't know what he's willing to do for me until I need him to do it for me. All right then, DMX. Baby, you might as well just get that over and done with. But you never know. A lot of folks is getting off on this tax evasion stuff, baby. It's definitely surprising. Here's an interesting altercation before we get into this here tunes and our exclusive interview with Miss Leontine Abdullah. Nigerian student solves historically difficult math equation in first semester at university. Nigerian student achieved the highest grade at a university in Japan for 50 years and solved a math puzzle in his first semester that was unsolvable for 30 years. Ufok Ikong, who studied at Tokai University in Tokyo, achieved a first-class degree in electrical engineering and scored the best marks at the university since 1965. He began his success early at the university, solving a 30-year math problem equation in his first semester. Throughout his university career, Mekong won 6 awards for academic excellence. This mathematician worked 2 jobs alongside his studies to pay his way as a student. Ikong also speaks English, French, Japanese, and Yoruba, and won a Japanese language award for foreigners. He is currently working for Nissan and already has 2 patents for electric car designs to his name. Tokai University is a prestigious private university based in the Japanese capital, which was founded in 1924. It is focused on the sciences and technologies, and roughly 60% of all students are enrolled in these schools. Well, go ahead, Mr. Ikong, with your bad self. And if you look up this article and look at him, he looks like a nerd, baby. He got the glasses, he got the suit, he got everything. So congratulations to you, Mr. Ikong. And we only got a few more minutes before we get our exclusive interview with actress and fashion mogul designer, Miss Leontine Abdullah. Dive that hotline, babies. 323-642-1569. Again, that's 323-642-1569. Love y'all, sugar. And we're going to get into our first throwback of the day. This is the awesome female R&B group, Black. This is I'm Good by Black. Our first throwback of the day, and stay tuned for our exclusive interview. All right, babies. Love y'all.
Making you nervous, you're trying real hard at the bump of shortbread.
By you when you cruise,
that's helpless. You saw that X5, that's me, I'm fly.
You
kind of seem so confused. You can't understand how my diamonds seem blue.
But it's cool, it's true.
It's unusual, a girl so fly, outshining a guy.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Don't think
wanting more.
It ain't me.
Sorry, you got the wrong one.
It ain't me.
I just came out to have fun.
It ain't me.
Go and find another one. I don't like what you're kicking, son. I'll leave. Cause even if I leave alone,
I'm good.
And even if you come along,
I'm good.
It don't mean a thing to me, cause
I'm good.
With or without you. If you wanna play games with me, then
I'm good.
Say what you do for me, then
I'm good.
It don't really mean a thing, cause
I'm good.
With or without you.
I'm good.
Said I'm so good. Even if you ain't with me, candy paint and I still bump Biggie.
Uh-huh.
Throwback, messed up Dickie.
Yeah.
She hating me cause I'm nice up on a mic. I'm twice the size of rice, my flow she gonna like.
Yeah.
Brain dead, you need sense like 50. Cause you don't truly love me like Bobby. No.
Thank you.
Run around, run around, run around, throwing that dirt all on my name. Cause you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd call you up. You can go around, go around, go around every party in LA. Cause you knew that I knew that I knew that I'd be at one. Oh. I know that dress is karma, perfume regret. You got me thinking about when you were mine. Ooh. And now I'm all up on you, what you expect. But you're not coming home with me tonight. You just want attention.
Call her a fashion mogul, Leontine Abdullah. So let's introduce her one time. Born and raised in Los Angeles, California, California love. At the tender age of 18 months, the designer began her career as an actress. By the time she was a tween, she appeared in over 30 movies and 12 commercials. Movies such as The Karate Kid 3, L.A. Law, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I actually remember that movie, it was hilarious, and Rodney Dangerfield's Where's Rodney TV show, and the list goes on and on. She would later go on to become a model for Vogue Modeling Productions at the age of 12. All right, then, traveling the world shooting print ads by the age of 13, gracing runways in high school, she was voted best dressed and most sophisticated by her peers in popularity poll at Crenshaw High. In the spring of 2018, she's making her mark back to television on Wii TV's herself on a reboot of her hit the hit show Bridezillas. And she also has a new television show, That's So Leontine, airing in the summer of 2018. All right. Over the years, she has designed for many celebrities such as Farrah Abram,
Torrey Hart, Rick Mora, and the list goes on and on. Her jeweled couture gowns have been seen on many celebrities all over Hollywood as they grace red carpets from the NAACP Awards to the Academy Awards. Dressing both men and women, transforming pro basketball and football players to queens and kings on the red carpet. The designer was nominated as Designer of the Year for the Versace Awards at the EOTM Awards in West Hollywood. Always a trendsetter, the designer knew her passion was to create fashion lines all over the world. She believes clothing should be represented as an individual's personality and current mood. Leontine Collection has showcased worldwide, from Los Angeles to Alaska, providing fierce looks for women and men to adorn daily. She will currently debut her new collection, which I'm excited to talk to her about, in Paris, France, in the fall of 2018. Let's say no more. Please welcome Ms. Leontine Abdullah. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being in the studio. And we gave a little bit of info about you, but please introduce yourself and tell us who Ms. Abdullah really is.
I am Leontine Abdullah. I am a fashion designer and a TV personality.
All right. So as we said, you got your start at the tender age of 18 months, moving forward in 30 movies and 12 commercials. What was that like growing up, being at a young age, starting off in television and film, and how did that transition to fashion?
Well, when I was 18 months, my mom found an agency. Actually, they found us. They met us. They saw me, and they said I was adorable, and told my mom, you know, they wanted to put me in movies and commercials. And so we went to the, you know, she took me to their office, and they loved me. So I did a composite, which is, you know, the pictures and the photographs and everything, and I started getting calls right away for commercials and television, and I would get things for, like, Sesame Street, Romper Room, and it was really fun. And by the time I was about maybe 7 or 8 years old, you know, I was being pulled out of school a lot to do these movies and TV shows, and it was a lot of fun for me being on set.
I'm sure. And what was that like, just the difference between commercials and major motion pictures and films? I know it's a big difference as far as the environment and takes and things of that sort. So how were you able to handle the two different types of styles when it came to memorizing your scripts and being on set?
Well, being on set was fun. I remember I was young, so to me it became a norm. You know, we would have a teacher on set because being so young, you have to have a work permit and you have to have a teacher there in so much time of school. Like, I believe it was at in the beginning, like maybe 4 to 6 hours of school. So we would do our schoolwork while on set for like 16, 12 hours. And in between takes, you know, I would meet the celebrities that were, you know, the stars, and we'd sit with them and have lunch with them or breakfast or dinner or whatever
okay.
it was. So it wasn't a wow factor to me, because living in Los Angeles, you know, we see a lot of celebrities generally. And so I was never like starstruck or anything, you know, with any of the celebs, but it was just fun. It was fun to be a part of it, because the people who were starstruck were my classmates and my, you know, the people at the schools that I was attending. Yeah, so that was, I think, the wow factor with all that.
Okay, and making your new television show debut, airing in the summer of 2018, this year, you guys, That's So Leontine. So are you able to give us a little bit of details about that?
Yes, basically what that is, it's my signature show. We're still filming. And what happens is I'm introducing, I used to do workshops at Mood Fabrics and different places, like in New York and in LA. And I would teach people how to do some of my quickies, like my, I have this clutch purse. It's called the date purse, that, you know, the date night clutch. And I would give mm-hmm. the students my, you know, give them my pattern, and I would show them how to make one for themselves, you know, and kind of jazz it up with the jewels and the hardware. What I decided to do, and I have a lot of techniques that are quick, So I would teach them how to do a clutch purse in 30 minutes to an hour. And I would teach them how to make a maxi dress in an hour. And that was, yeah, that was the great part about the workshop. And, you know, all the classes were full and people would come out to take the classes. So I'm incorporating that in the show. I'm going to talk a lot about, you know, the type of designs that I designed for on the red carpet. I'm going to show on the show how I designed it, show a little footage of the actual design on the carpet, and then we'll talk about whatever piece it is that I'm going to do for that day.
Okay, and something that's interesting to me, as far as people getting their own television shows, everyone goes through their different process. Sometimes they pitch their ideas, or they have an elevator pitch and have a presentation for certain networks and things of that sort. And some are approached by networks because of your audience and what you do. How were you able to nail your own television show?
Well, I was approached by my mentor. She's vice president of the NAACP Altadena chapter, and she told me, you need a show. She said, the only person doing it like that is Martha Stewart. She said, you know, we need a show where you can display these 30-minute techniques or an hour technique, but cut it down and make it simplified, because everyday women and men want to learn how to do certain things. Like, I have this reusable grocery bag that I design, and, you know, I was teaching that in my class. So she said, and then with the type of life that you have, your lifestyle at this point, she said, it's fascinating. So we want to kind of showcase that. And when we pitched it around, you know, there were so many different networks that were interested. So that's pretty much how that got started.
Awesome, awesome. And as we gave in our info about you, that you have designed and styled many celebrities in the industry, what's one thing what's one thing you can say is your signature touch on a garment?
My signature touch is pretty much the hardware, meaning either it's the feathers, the sequin, or jewels. I love jewels. You know, I'll put thousands of jewels on a dress, and it's simple to me because I do it quickly. And one of my things about my designing is I'm self-taught. So I've been doing it since I was a little girl. My mother used to sew, so I learned a lot of it from her. And it's like second nature to me, you know, so I do it very quickly. And I think that the jewels and the hardware, and when it comes to the selection of the fabric, I think that that is what people, you know, excites them, is the fabric choices that I choose.
Okay. And say you walk into Mood in New York and you're designing a garment for someone, what gravitates you towards certain fabrics and colors and hardware?
Their personality. You know, when I meet with a client and consult with them, I always get their general idea of the who, what, when, where, and why. Where are you going? You know, what are you doing? What's your attitude toward it? So I kind of take that into consideration, and I don't usually design the gown until I see the fabric. Like, I'm in reverse. Most people, they have this, oh, I want a red dress, and then they, you know, design it, and no, I have to see the fabric first. So I go and I look at fabrics first, then I get on my dress form and I start to create this new attitude for this person or their general attitude, and just incorporate it and, you know, bring life to it.
Okay, I like it. And since you are so speedy and you're able to teach different techniques of getting things done in a day, or my goodness, how quickly can you say, with your years of experience, are you able to design and finish off a garment?
Okay, one of the simplest things for me is a evening gown, even just a blazer and a pair of pants. I can do a blazer. Like, for the Soul Train Awards, I designed my entire garment in the room that morning of. Yes, and my friend, she was there, she watched the whole thing. And what I do is I always put up, when I have time, I'll take pictures as I go, sometime video. And when I'm in a hurry, I'll still try to take some, because a lot of people don't believe that, oh, my God, you just did this, and you did it in like 8 or 5 hours. Or if it's something simple, like if it's summertime, and, you know, I want to make a cute maxi dress, I can do it in 30 minutes, you know, on my dress form, and then I just sew it up. And people are like, wow. But, you know, when the students, you know, saw me do this, they're like, oh, okay, you know, so I've been teaching so many people, you know, technique as far as that. And they love it. I mean, it's interesting, and I do it now. I'll design something before I leave, and I'll put the flipogram up because I want people to see that it can be done. It can be done.
Okay.
You know.
I love it. And we have the Elite Collection, which has showcased worldwide, and you're also debuting some new collections in France in the fall of 2018. So let's talk about that. I would love to hear details about the new upcoming collection.
Okay, well, the new upcoming collection is, it's kind of like my new attitude. You know, I've been through a lot of things in my life, and now that I'm at the point to where I, you know, all my kids are grown, and they're off to college, and I'm doing everything I've always wanted to do. I'm finally at the place where I'm happy, and I can finally just let loose and be me with no judgment, and I don't care what people think. So everything that I do when I dress, I'm a mood-based designer, you know, when I dress myself. So I wear how I feel. If I'm feeling sexy, I'll make something sexy. If I'm feeling whatever, it's always going to have some sexy, classy in it. So this design has a lot of vibrant colors. I'm a 70s baby, so it's all going to have a 70s vibe with some sequin and feathers and things like that. Yeah, but with a new school twist. So it's, you know, it has a very, very nice, vibrant vibe to it.
I love it. And
Thank you.
Do you happen to have a name for the collection currently, or would you like to keep that under wraps until you debut?
Well, everything is pretty much, you know, House of Leontine or Leontine Collection, but this one is, I'm paying homage to On the Run for Beyonce. I love Beyonce. She's one of my favorites, my all-time favorites. So my entire collection is based off of her and On the Run, because she's doing a tour at the same time I'm doing a tour, and I love Beyonce, so I'm like, okay, this is my paying homage to Beyonce's On the Run too, her and Jay-Z. So yeah, and then I'm gonna do a presentation on the stage. We're going, myself and a few of my models, we're going to do a presentation, like a little dance routine too. So
I love it. Since you are a Beyonce fan, I have to ask, what are some of your favorite classic Beyonce songs that you, if you're feeling yourself and say you're in your studio designing something, what's one of the few Beyonce songs you instantly go to?
Crazy in Love. All the young remixes, everything. Yes, Crazy in Love or B-Day. I love B-Day. Oh, my God. Everything on it. Yeah. Because it's kind of like a woman. Yeah, it's kind of like a woman coming out of her shell. So that's why I kind of, you know, I love me some Beyonce.
Very true. Was Freakum Dress on B-Day? I don't recall, because I know that's one of the
main ones.
You know
what? Freakum Dress is one, too. That's in my number two. That's in there. Part of that, because I have everything remixed in. It's like a lot of songs mixed in, so... Yeah, that's one of the songs that's on there.
All right. Yes, I love it. So say somebody wants to get some fashion advice from you. How would you start, or do you do personal style for people, fashion advice? How would someone go about if they want to, like, collaborate two different styles, like, say, streetwear meets feminine? How would you go about assisting someone in finding their style and overall creating their look?
Well, if someone came to me and wanted that style, I would create it for them. I mean, I like that look. It's kind of like a Grace Jones effect, but a little bit more, not so much, you know, like naked as much, you know. But it's kind of a 80s look. You know, it's a mid-80s look, and I would go crazy with it. I would love that. It's a lot of blazers and shoulder pads and things, so I would love that.
And how would you, even though you are an amazing designer, I've seen your work.
Thank you.
I saw that sequins jumpsuit. I'm like, yes, just
thank you.
And how would you describe your everyday style versus you on the red carpet?
on the red carpet? Well, it would depend on the event. I always take into consideration what type of an event is it, because they may not be ready for what I have on my mind for that day. So if it's an award show, you know, I'll do an evening gown, but I'll put my twist on it and I'll make it, you know. But if it's a party or some type of club event, I'll just go crazy and I'll do whatever's on, you know, whatever mood I'm in. I'll do something sexy and maybe something short, maybe something long and tight, you know, it depends. But I'll definitely have something disco-esque in it. Like, you're going to see some 70s in it.
Okay. And is that incorporated into your everyday as well?
No, not into my everyday. Believe it or not, like, you know, because I am a mother and I'm used to, you know, that on the run. And when they were in school and when they were in elementary school and high school, I did a lot of dropping off, picking up. You know, I'm a leggings type person in the daytime with a nice graphic tee sometimes. And I will put on my tennis shoes because I noticed that, you know, it's a woman of a particular age. When I'm out running around, I wear heels all the time. I've been wearing them since I was a teenager, you know, because I used to model and I just started wearing them to school. Because when I was in high school, I was nominated for best dressed and most sophisticated. Well, no one ran against me, but they basically just gave it to me because no one would run against me because I came dressed in the nines every day, head to toe. So as an adult, if I don't have meetings or somewhere to go, if I'm just running to the mall, running to a grocery store, that's my everyday look. But it's always going to look like I put it together to be fashionable, but I really don't. It's just, I don't know. I guess when you kind of live, eat, and breathe fashion, everything you do and wear is going to be coordinated in some way. I don't even know. Even when I'm cutting and sewing, somehow I have the same, you know, I have a lot of scissors, so I'm matching my scissors with the actual colors of the clothing that I'm cutting. It's just all up, you know, when people have a passion for something, you gravitate to everything that you do.
Definitely. And with being in those three different worlds as a model, as a designer, and as an actor, actress, do you find one that you gravitate towards more out of all three of those worlds?
Yes. The designer. The designer is always number one, because not just friends and family, but there are always people like on my social media who hit me up in my inbox or my DM, and they're always asking fashion questions, and they're always looking for some type of either to dress them or to design a dress for them. So no matter what I'm doing, even if I'm doing, if I'm on set doing some type of a filming, I'm getting calls or I'm getting emails or I'm getting text messages about help me with my garment, help me with this. So I would have to say it's the designer, because it's always going to be there. I can't even shake it at this point. Yeah.
Right. And I have to say, I love your energy, and you seem like a very confident woman in your aesthetic and in your style and in who you are.
Thank you.
So how do you keep your confidence in such a competitive industry? Because the fashion world is, oh my God, payment industry. So how do you keep yourself confident in the midst of all adversity?
You know how? I'll be honest. I stay true to myself. I've been raised by my mother and father to always, you know, love myself first, to always be true to who I am. And in the day and age of when I grew up, you know, as an African American, trying to be in the fashion industry is hard enough. And you have to deal with so much, you know, because you're always overlooked. So you have to be louder and you have to be out there. And when I say loud, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a vibrant way. You have, when you show up, you have to show out. You know, you have to allow them to see you. When you walk in a room, your design should speak for itself. They should know that you do something in fashion. They don't know what it is. You're either a designer, a stylist, or something. But they're going to know. They're going to gravitate to you, and they're going to know that you do something. So I stay true to myself. I don't allow people to tell me how to dress, what to do. I don't tone down myself because other people are uncomfortable. I keep myself, because it took me a long time to get to this place. You know, as an adult with going through life in general, you know, and being a mother and raising my children, there were a lot of things that I had to encounter. So as I learned to love myself more and stay and notice that when I'm loving myself and staying true to myself, everything in the universe will just happen, you know, because you don't, you're not out there being fake. You're not out there selling your soul. You're being you.
Right.
So I think being genuine is what makes it happen for me.
Absolutely. And you have so many amazing things going on. You've got your collection coming out, of course, in fall, television show. What else is next for Miss Leontine? What's next?
Well, you know, I'm currently trying to get some designs in some stores. I have some lookers. They want some of my designs, but, you know, we're working out everything because I want to make sure everything's right and it's beneficial toward me and it looks good for my brand. And, you know, I also, I have been learning how to be, I've been studying directing for the past, like, 4 years, and I've become pretty much a director. So I do want to direct my own biography, autobiography of my life, and that's pretty much what I'm going to start doing is that. And that's one of my next projects. But basically now is just branding my collections, getting them in the stores.
Okay. I'm digging that because especially with being a director, having the experience as an actress on your side, you kind of have a good eye and perspective as far as how you want to embody in advertisement and commercials and overall a presence for your brand. So I'm definitely happy for you. Applause to you with all that.
Thank
going
you.
On.
Thank you.
Director, you've got skills, you wear many hats, and we are definitely, I would love to see if Faces of Success could cover your collection release in the fall. That would be absolutely amazing. I would love to see
Yes,
that
would.
So you never know, putting that energy out, you never know.
Okay, exactly. You got to put it out in the universe. Yes.
All right, Ms. Leontine, how can everyone keep up with you and all your endeavors? Do you have an official website and social media sites we can keep up with you on?
Yes, I do. It's leontinecollection.com.
And one more question for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What is some advice that you would give to someone who wants to become a designer or overall break out in the fashion and entertainment industry as well?
Just get up, get out, and go do it. You know, you got to walk around. If you're, see, a lot of girls and guys, you know, they're in school, they want to become a fashion designer, and that's fine. But see, what they have to do is they have to get up and go out and look at the type of clothing that they want to design. Like if it's couture gowns, go to the couture stores and look at the seams. Look at the way it's, you know, designed. I know a lot of the stores don't allow you to touch the things, but you can still go in and look at them, and you can, you know, pick them up, try it on, you know, kind of see how it's designed so that way you can go home and try to mimic it and practice, because practice is the most important thing when you're designing. And listen to your customer. Listen to your customer's need. You know, start getting customers. Start designing for friends and family if you have to. But definitely get up and go make it happen. You know, don't sit back because nobody's going to come grab you and make you a designer. You have to get out and tell the world who you are, or they're going to make you be who they want you to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. There are great, great words from Miss Leontine. And could you tell us your official website one more time for the listeners?
Okay, it's www.leontinecollection.com, and that's L-E-O-N-T-I-N-E collection.com.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Ms. Leontine, speaking on your
You're very
expertise
welcome.
In the entertainment industry, your fashion, and hopefully still putting it out there. Faces of Success will cover your amazing release for your newest collection. Much success to you and all your endeavors, Ms. Leontine, and much love from the Faces of Success family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, everyone, make sure that you check her out, Leontine Collection. That's L-E-O-N-T-I-N-E collection.com. Show us some love on her social media sites, and make sure you look out for her television show, That's So Leontine, coming to you in the summer of 2018. Let's get back into this music. You're tuned in to Night Airways live right here on Faces of Success Radio.
I was celebrating, I didn't have a dime, but I was always focused to work every day, me and my dog. Like it or not, I came out all right. All the homies, we came up the same way, and I swear ain't nothing changed. Got a little bit of change in my pocket, but I maintain. We were young and in this world, chasing dreams and girls, running from our problems. I know that we older now, but that's what we were. Remember we were young, young and dumb. Remember we were cut class, but teachers used to hate me. The only reason that I did that was to keep from going crazy. I didn't give a damn about my grades. It's probably why we failed the ninth grade. Me and my dog, like it or not, we came out okay. All the homies, we came up the same way, and I swear ain't nothing changed. Way before I ever moved out the house and did the damn thing. We were young and in this world, chasing dreams and girls, running from our problems. And I know we're old enough, but that's what we were all about. Remember we were young.
Feelings worth more than millions, and I feel it, you're hurting, and I've been healing. Girl, that thing ain't worth it, I know you hear me. I know we said we wouldn't let it get this far. Now I want it for myself, that's his loss. Oh, we mad, huh? Is he pissed off? Too bad, the should've been on his job. You know I deserve it, I've been working this hard. Yeah.
Hey, miss, is you
been
pretty,
working
yeah.
this hard, yeah.
Poet, sipping, getting loose.
What do you say, you say?
We been on the couch, on the bed floor.
No.
Baby, dropping on my line. Hold up, there go.
I think, yeah, he most likely did see me as a threat at first.
I don't know. But I just know that when he sees me together, he's gonna be like, God, what? Like, left you in a naughty dark
way. Yeah. Wait. No, baby.